And so we finished this little series, I believe, today. And next week, starting a new month, we're excited about a series we're going to call Extreme Generosity. I love this series. We're looking forward to it. We began with Think Again and then Think Offense. And last week, Pastor Nate talked about thinking positive. That's God's thoughts, biblical worldview, not the power of positive thinking. It's aligning our thoughts with the truth of God's word. And today, I want to finish with the topic, Think Peace. So 4 weeks ago, I started with this statement that we really need to give some serious thought to what we think about. We need to think about what we think about because the thoughts that we have direct our lives. And some of you are struggling today right now to clear your thoughts and to focus on Him away from all the stuff. Focusing on stuff is never going to change anything, but focusing on Him has the power to change everything. Yeah. Did anybody hear that? Focusing on the thing that you're carrying today isn't going to fix you. It's not going to change. But focusing on Him has a power to change everything in your life. Right. Starting with you. Because it's real easy to pray for everybody else, isn't it? And there are times we do that. But like the old spiritual says, it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Yeah. In other words, start with me. Change me. Do whatever you want in me. I give you full permission to do that. So we've been talking about, and I'll return to some familiar scriptures with application for sure today, but most of the battles in this life, spiritual battles, that end up being spiritual battles, and they can be physical, they can be emotional too, but they're either won or lost in the mind. That's where it all begins. And that's why we've got to be in what I'm going to call a constant, a fluid state of living transformed. That's not our power or our might. That's God's transformational power and presence flowing in us and through us. If not restrained by truth, how many of you know there is truth these days? Is that okay? There is truth. God's unwavering word is true. If not restrained by the truth of God's word and God's character and nature, the mind can quickly race towards negative thoughts and even irrational worries. Has anybody ever had an irrational worry before? An irrational worry would be for me sometimes that when Dixie's gone longer than I think she should be by my time. See, she and I have different time zones. She lives on God time. You know what I mean by that? God's not limited by time and space. And sometimes when I get worried about her, she's gone, I start worrying about something might have happened to her. Fortunately, one of my friends from Florida recently installed a Find My app on my phone. And so now I just hit that little button, Dixie, Walmart, aisle 5. Works nearly every time. You know, we can smile and laugh, but the fact is we do battle with irrational worries and fears sometimes. And I want us to really think about where those are coming from. A little humorous example might be like this. It sounds crazy, but I've seen it. You're a young student and you're worried that you're going to get a bad grade on a test. And then if you do that, you're going to get a low grade for the entire course and your GPA will be impacted. You won't get into the right school later and you won't end up with a good job and you won't marry the right person. The kids will be expensive and messy and too many and you probably won't be able to send them to college because you'll still have school debt of your own. Your kids won't be able to get a good job. They'll resort to lives of crime and they'll end up spending time in prison. And all of this is giving you a pounding migraine and you think you have a brain tumor. Can anybody say amen to that? Yes. Not that you would go there, but you know somebody who does quite regularly. Well, this may seem like a crazy scenario, but this is really how the mind, the power of the mind can lead us astray and really take us in the wrong direction, thus down the wrong path. It can and does happen. So I want to read our key scriptures for really this whole series without many comments, and then I'll come back to it in sections. But let's go to Philippians chapter 4, one of my favorite life passages. Here's the word of the Lord speaking. Don't worry about anything. It's hard for me to read it without making comments as I read it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you have heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Is that an encouraging passage or what? To me, it just says this: God's peace is available. It is. So how to think? Think peace. Peace is delivered by God, as we see in this passage, and it works from the inside out. We do have responsibilities as it's listed. This isn't unconditional. There are conditions listed in this passage. It's a large deposit on the inside that works its way out through all the seasons and circumstances of life. So I'll say it this way, that our lives tend to unfold from the direction of our thought patterns. Thoughts create our lives literally, and the direction of our thoughts determines the direction and the outcome of our lives. We've been referring to Proverbs 23:7a. For as he thinks in his heart, I put parenthetically mind, so is he. It's so easy to dwell on things that are negative. We talked about it last week. And I want to tell you, when we think about that, most of the times it's dwelling on lies that do not align with God's word. And that drags us into and keeps us in captivity. That's what happened when we dwell upon lies. That's why we need God's word discerning in our hearts and lives, in us and through us, filling us, so that we'll know the truth. And the Bible says the truth will do what? It will set us free. As a man thinks, as a person thinks in his heart, mind, so is he. So to me, when I read that scripture, I think the word's telling us, consider the source of your thoughts. And if they don't align with God's word, where are these lies coming from? Who is the liar? Any clue? The Bible's clear about that. We've been saying through this series that our life constantly moves at the speed of our thoughts, in the direction of our thoughts. Life experiences, whether we remember them all vividly or not, things that involve hurt, pain, fear, traumas, misunderstandings, whatever, can trigger things like anxiety and tension and fear. And our minds can quickly race and run into panic mode, into worst case scenario mode. And before we know it, like it or not, we're being controlled by our runaway minds, our runaway thoughts. That's one of the greatest spiritual ills of our day. Our minds are out of control. Thus, our lives are out of control. That's why we've been reading the scripture, that we've got to take thought, every thought captive and make it obedient to the word, to make it obedient to Christ. That's our responsibility. That's not going to be done for us. I'm thinking about this verse 6, where it says very clearly, this could be a 4-point message in of itself or so, but here it is again: don't worry about anything. Is that pretty inclusive? Does anybody think the anything listed here includes that very thing that you're struggling with today? Or are you the exception, or is it the exception? No, I think it fits into the anything, don't you? Instead of worrying, which is fruitless, which won't do anything except you get you and others worked up, the Bible says pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. That's our response to God's promise. That's what we're to do. Don't you think it's safe to say something like this, that if it's on our mind, it's on God's heart? Would you agree with that? Whatever matters to us matters to him. And sometimes he'll have to bring correction and direction and inspection, all those things. But whatever matters to us matters to him. I mean, anything and everything does. So don't worry, pray, tell God what you need, and thank him. Those are four things that are our responsibility. Nobody can do that for you. Nobody can do your worrying for you. Don't worry, pray, tell God, and thank him profusely. Do you think this might be true? That people who claim the name of Jesus often overvalue the influences and circumstances and undervalue the power of prayer? Any thoughts about that? Now, we might not say that that's true, but I'm talking about what we practice. I think that we practice by our actions. We say many times that we understate or undervalue the power of prayer. In fact, you've heard it said in very difficult situations that are on our ability to fix or change, but we hear the statement something like this: I guess all we can do now is pray. Can you hear Eeyore saying that? I guess now all we can do is pray, you know? I mean, what? What? I'm afraid that's our philosophy, and I'm afraid that we practice it. Because shouldn't prayer be our first thought and not the very last thing? Shouldn't it be our first choice instead of our last resort or last option? Would you agree? Shouldn't that be that we grab our kids or grands and just pray with them over anything that matters? I mean, when the tears come, when the emotions come, to just take that moment and pray. First thing, I wonder how many calamities that would avert and meltdowns. Hebrews 16, verse 16 of chapter 4 says it very clearly about this very theme. In light of the previous verses now, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. How are we to come? Boldly. Not timidly, not every once in a while, but boldly, and that probably means frequently as well. To the throne of our gracious God. That's a good word, a grace-filled God. There you will receive his mercy. Does anybody need his mercy from time to time? I mean, like, not just daily, but hourly sometimes. Some days are better than others. And when we do, we will find grace, unmerited favor, his blessing, to help us when we need it most from God's perspective. Not always when we think we need it most, but when he knows we need it most, he lavishes his grace upon us. It says in James, and I won't read it all in chapter 4, but said that sometimes we don't have what we want because we don't ask God for it. That's part of that boldness prayer. And then it says, there's a question in the next verse that says, when we do pray, let's be careful. Let's make sure our motives are in check with God's word, because sometimes our motives are all about us. Isn't it easy to pray selfish prayers? That's why the first thing in so many prayer patterns, the first thing is to start like the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I think sometimes we get mixed and we say, my will be done. But as God, I want to align my will with your will. Strong admonition. Sincere and focused prayer not only touches the heart of God, but it also has the power to change our thinking patterns. Did you know that? Done some reading on this. And those of you that are very intellectual, and you probably studied this, that our brains continue to change throughout our life. And for some of us, I'm thinking, that's not a good thing. You know what I'm saying? I think for me, I'm sure I've lost some brain cells along the way. Not you, but me. But it's true that as long as we have breath, our brains continue to change. And once we think a thought or we get in this pattern, it becomes easier to think it again and again and again and again, and it becomes a deep rut, and it's a hole that we can hardly get out of. It's a slippery slope. There's a gal that has a book out about the brain, and just one thing that she brings out, she said, practically speaking, she believes that prayer actually changes your brain, and she suggests this: try praying daily, a focused prayer, I mean, focus, nothing, no interruption, for 12 minutes for 8 weeks, and she said, you'll change your brain patterns enough that it can be measured. It's measurable. No wonder one of the biggest tactics of the enemy is to get us to do everything but pray. He'd rather have us run around the cul-de-sac like chicken with our heads off than do what's constructive and productive and pray. He'd rather us worry about our kids and grand than pray for them and pray with them. Yes? He'd rather us practice worry now instead of pray now. Fret now, or whatever the case may be. Just as negative or toxic thoughts and believing lies can be so damaging and harm us and harm our brain, basically, I believe she's saying that prayer can bring healing and transformation and renewal. And as followers of Jesus, the challenge is for us, those who have said yes to a relationship with him, we're in God's family, we must determine to choose to completely trust God and to entrust our lives to him. And that includes our kids and our grands and all of those things. We'll mess it up, but I know a God who can fix it up. Choose and declare, I trust in God. We sing it often. Say it as many times as you need to. Sing it. He will never fail. I choose to trust in God. As for me and my house, we choose to trust in God. A declaration of faith. We've talked a lot about worry over the years, I'm sure, but I wonder, and if it's bottom line form isn't this, I just want you to consider this. Distrusting worry could be distrusting the purposes, promises, and the power of God. That's what it boils down to. Could I say that again? That's what worry really is. When we take worry into our own hands, we are diminishing God and his power. We're doubting him. We're distrusting, I'll say it again, his purposes, his promises, and his power when we choose to live in that constant state of worry and fretting. Sometimes pride is reversed. We don't think of pride. We think of pride as being all puffed up, but no, this is a form of pride because we selflessly try to replace God on the throne with self on the throne. I don't really believe in your goodness, so I'm going to worry. I'm going to take care of things because you can't or you won't. I don't trust you. I trust me. Now, we would never say that many times brazenly, but that's how we live. Yeah. Explanation in Romans 8:5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Does that make sense? But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. In other words, do you see that we have a responsibility here? This isn't what God does all these things for us. He says, this is the path, walk in it. This is what I want you to do to get out of where you are. To renew your mind. Think about things that please the Spirit. And how are we going to know? Because in this day of rationalization, we can find somebody that's going to agree with our twisted view of sin or whatever. That's always true. That's why we've got to have God's word in us. That's our truth, true north. That's our brunt. That's what keeps us centered. So, verse 6, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. And you know, there are a lot of people that are walking dead. I mean, they're breathing, but they're dead emotionally, spiritually, in every way. That's what letting your sinful nature rule when controlled. That's what it'll lead to. Destruction. That's the tactic of the enemy. But then it finishes. But, big but there, letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and to peace. It doesn't say you controlling it. It says basically surrendering your mind to the Spirit's control. That is the pathway to life and peace. From wherever you are right now, no matter the circumstance you find yourself in, this is the answer. Surrender and submitting to him. Taking responsibility, releasing someone who is not doing right, saying, God, they're your responsibility. I can't fix them. I can't change them. I want to dwell on things above. So, followers of Jesus, not Christian in name only, but followers of Jesus, we determine by faith choice to allow the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who comes into us at the time of conversion, and then we surrender to Holy Spirit control, to control our minds, thus our thoughts. The Bible says back to verse 7 of chapter 4 of Philippians, if you do these things, not that they're done for you, but it's been provisionally provided for you, but when you access it, when you access it, when you embrace it, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, or I would add parenthetically, even figure out. And his peace will, it doesn't say might, it says will guard your hearts and minds, but here's the key. As you live, as you present active, continue to live in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? That's the then connects with the as you live in Christ. Our thoughts can't rule outside of Christ or it's going to take us in a destructive direction. So we choose to take them captive. I don't think it's a one and done. I think it's a daily grind many times. Anybody agree out there? That's a way of life. That's how we live because we're living in Jesus. That's not a verse of condemnation. You're just going to know when things don't ring true. They don't align with his word. And it's going to get to the point where you want to stiff up. You want to push it away because it doesn't honor him. What a verse. What truth. And then the next verse, then we read in verse 7 and now 8 again, slowly. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Must be important, we say. Fix your thoughts. Can anybody do that for you? Huh? To me, it's saying you are responsible to fix your thoughts, children of the Most High God, who say I am a child of God by profession, by possession. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure, lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Wow, I wonder what would happen this week if we would pray for every day for 8 minutes of focused prayer and to pray even the scripture because that's a powerful way to pray when we don't even know how to pray or what to think. But if we would do this verse, Philippians 4:8, I wonder what our report would be at the end of this week. I guarantee you, some of you would be in a whole different place by next Sunday than you are today, even though circumstances may not change. Yeah. Are you with me on that? Well, I tried it, didn't help, didn't fix them, didn't fix that husband or that wife or that boss or whatever, no. God's just kind of leaning in and go, hey, it's you that needs fixing. Let me redirect your thoughts. Would that be okay if God brought correction to you? Would that be okay if he realigned your thinking? Because he loves us and he wants what's best for us and it must break his heart to see us living on this hamster wheel that goes fast nowhere. I really like declarations. I didn't say decorations. I like those too. Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat, as the song goes. But here's what I want you to think about. I just focus on it. And just think about this. Who is controlling your mind, your thoughts? Don't think way back when. I mean, think now. Think this weekend. And then could I ask you a second question? Somebody said the most important question you can ask is the follow-up question. Not the first one, but the next one. What are you allowing into your mind? What are you entertaining? You know what I mean by entertaining? Come on in. We don't entertain guests who, you know, sneak through the back door or whatever. I mean, when we entertain, it's people that come through the front door. Unfortunately, that's how it is with our thoughts and our minds a lot of times. We're only struggling because of what we choose to entertain, what we choose to bring in. Are you with me out there? This is for all of us. And in the name of Christian maturity, we think we can just entertain all kinds of things and not be affected in our minds and thoughts. I'm telling you, that's a pipe dream. That's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Our thoughts are going to move in the direction of what we entertain. Yes. And I think we need a wake-up call in our homes, in our lives, on how we're entertained. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to all of us today. Could we make a declaration, something like this? Not these exact words. Oh God, I'm choosing to put my trust completely in you. I refuse with God's help to be dominated and controlled by the sinful nature, because you didn't just die for my sin, my acts of sin. You died to put the sinful nature to death. I will no longer fill my mind with sinful thoughts that dishonor God. I'm choosing, I'm stating, I'm declaring it. I'm going to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. I'm choosing life and peace. I can't speak for you, but for me, I'm choosing life and peace. Is that okay? And you know what? We need to write it down, and we need to declare it regularly, and I think we need to memorize it, and that's how we fight our battles. By declarations that come from our heart. It's not just I won'ts, but it's also I wills, huh? Yeah? Everybody doing all right out there? How you doing in the grandstand? Back row. Anybody still awake up there? Thank you. I see that hand. The rest of you must be asleep. Hey, Joel, toss me that box, would you? Real quick. I thought of this. I would have done it fancier, but it's appropriate. Thank you very much. This is a Samaritan's Purse jar and Operation Christmas Child, and we're in the middle of that. We just want to be generous. I think he mentioned blessing catalogs are out today. We're so excited about this season. We have so many opportunities to give, but I would just want to use this for a visual illustration. And if I would have thought of it earlier, I would have probably wrapped it up, and I would have had Karma make something fancy on here that said God box on it. God box. You can make your own. This is a little demonstration that will help you, but I want to get practical here. When your God is too small and you're being overwhelmed by those thoughts, the raging and worry is just large, could I encourage you to do something here? So I have some cards that are blank on the back. So could you take a card and a Sharpie? It won't work unless you use a Sharpie. Because when I think of Sharpie, I think of permanent, right? Like when the grandkids get loose with a Sharpie in the house. They write on this thin paper, thus writing on your dining room table or whatever it may be. Can anybody relate to that? I don't know if they have non-permanent Sharpies, but I like the they even have a smell. Whew, I think I just got high on that whiff. What do you think? they even have a smell. Okay, here's what I want to suggest. I want you to have your own God box, and this doesn't have to just be an individual. If you live alone, fine, but this could be for your family, whatever. Okay, so if you're really struggling, I just think when we go to war, we have to do something more than just thinking in our mind. We have to put feet to it. And so I want you to write down... I'm worried about Dixie and Walmart. And I'm not really. But if I were, I'm just trying to be specific. And I instead of worrying about and fretting, because I know now my aisle five. We said that. But I want you to put it in the box and close the box. And you can even do it. You can put a slit in the middle and have a lid on it. But here's the thing. So we've specifically named something that's really struggling. Come on, we all have one, and you have one. If you thought for a moment, you could think of something that's really, that you've struggled with this week, or even today, right now. It could be a person, an attitude, I mean, whatever it is. And then determined by God's grace, I've done what the Bible says. I've casted my cares upon him, and I'm gonna move on in life. But here's the next thing. Keep it handy. You might keep this right beside your Christmas jar on the counter that we have out where we save change for others. And put it there, because when you sense again 2 days later that you're struggling with the same thing, I want you to open the box. I want you to take it out, and I want you to read it and declare that God is who he is. And then I want you to put that back in the box and say, God, recalculating, I'm going to re-entrust that thing to you. Does that make sense? Yeah. That might be something that would practically help you. But only as we get specific, and if we own it when we pick it up again. But I think that act of pulling it out of the box will help us know that we're taking it back again. And I want you to think of taking it back again. That's taking it out of God's hands, saying, babe, I'm in control, not God. That doesn't feel very good, does it? I think that physical act will help us. Make sure you use a Sharpie. It's permanent. Next service, I might not say that the fumes made me high. That just came to mind. But here's the thing. Here's why I wanted to do that. When I was a youth pastor, I'd use visuals all the time, so Malachi would remember them vividly. Um, But here's the thing that I want you to see. We so many times, when it comes to thinking right, we think about that thing on the card. But do you know what's bigger than that? God's really after. He wants us to submit ourselves to him. Because if he has all of me, he has all of the things that concern me. Do you understand that? We get focused on the thing. God is focused on our complete surrender and trust. That's what he's looking for. That's where the life of freedom comes from. When we go all in and all out. Nothing, no thing held back. I choose, Lord, to give you all of me. And that could be a daily morning prayer, a start for the day. My whole life belongs to you. You're good. You're faithful and true. And I want to lean into that. And I want to trust you with everything today. Well, be responsible. I've talked about that. Do what God wants you to do. Be obedient. Do what you can do. Like that. Preparation and planning to do right is not a bad thing. And most often we won't do the thing if we don't have a plan to do it. Agreed? Right. Let God work, though, where you can't do it. Only God can. Surrender to him and trust him. And no matter the circumstance, saying, as for me and myself and I and my house, we will trust in God. Who or what is influencing your thought life? I'm not saying, I'm not shaming. I just like to know, where is it coming from, the influence? Would you think about that? Can you imagine a heart of peace, a life of unending joy that God's promised? That only comes from one source, and that is from the heart and mind that is trusting God completely. It's possible. It's a choice. It's a choice. What direction are your thoughts taking you? I think we've probably said it in this series, but we'll say it again for emphasis. If you don't choose to control what you think, you'll never control what you do. Simple enough? So as an action, helping us with the God box, but think it and pray it and say it and write it and declare it, memorize it, but most of all, believe it, embrace it. I love Colossians 3:15. We used to sing about it in a musical called Exaltation that I led years ago, a pure praise musical. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. That's God's peace, not man's manufactured peace. And there it is again. And always be thankful. I wonder if gratitude and thankfulness can make a dent in worry. And I think it can, don't you? What's Isaiah? I don't have it on the screen, but Isaiah 26:3 says, you will, speaking of God, pointing to him, praising him, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. I think the word's suggesting that we get the me out of the formula. We won't have perfect peace when we focus on me, but when we focus on him. Someone has said that peace begins in the mind before it settles into the heart. That's probably true. Keep your mind stayed on him. Stay your mind. Turn to worship. That's God focus always. Fix on the unchanging one. Guard your input. Practice his presence. Practice being in the moment. And speak peace with declarations out loud. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry. All of those that I read carefully, it's not automatic. We have a responsibility to think peace right here, right now. What's the Bible saying? 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares upon him because he what? He cares for you. And I don't know. I like that casting word. Do you? I don't think about rearing back, you know, and it doesn't say hurl or throw, but casting. I think about, I can remember my dad fishing, and I used to admire when he'd have a rod and reel, and he'd do this most graceful cast. You know, the high arc. It wasn't like, I would be, you know, like, and the fish would be dead because the lure knocked him in the head. Don't you love that? Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. That's the bottom line that I want you to hear today. He cares for you. He doesn't want you to carry the load you've been carrying. He said, you don't have to go there. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it anymore. Would you cast them on me? Would you put it in the God box and leave it there? Get your focus off of you and your focus on to him. Give him your specific concern, thought, whatever. Doesn't have to be a worry. But give him your heart. Give him your heart. We're going to sing a little bit. Are we going to sing what we agreed on, or did you have a better thought?
I'm going to do something else.
Okay, that's fine. We'll compare notes later to see if it was better what you did or what I want to do. We'll let our wives vote. But we're going to sing, and I want to open up the altars today again. I love it. We've even moved the candy bucket, as Joel so eloquently stated and dramatized this morning, so that the kids don't interfere with altar and all that. Kids are not interference, but we want to take it out there. We'll see if that works. But we want to do what we did again. I think Nate spontaneously said last week, I just want to give an invitation for you to bring, as we start singing, we're going to stand. And I want you to bring something specific. Let's just say the altar is going to be your God box this morning. And I want you to bring something specific to him. Not just generically, but whatever. It could be that you've never given him you. And so it needs to be a salvation moment, a surrender moment, where you say, I'm bringing myself to you. Because until you make that move, you know, it's temporary to give anything else to him. But if there's something specifically you've been struggling with in your thought life, I don't care what it is. And it doesn't even have to apply to the message, that your response. But we're going to invite you to come. And I don't want anybody praying for anybody or with anybody right now until we'll give an opportunity later like we did last week. That seemed to work very well. But I just invite you to come. I love it. I pray about that regularly, that our altars and stairs will be used. Because now's the time when God's speaking to your heart. He wants to do something for you and in you. How many of you know right now? Right now, right now. So I'm going to invite you to stand quietly. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And I just wonder if you just have the courage. We're not unchristianizing you. We're not judging anybody. But something that you've really been battling with, I want this altar again to be your God box, and I want you to come and entrust it to him by saying that, Lord, I'm not just giving you this, but I'm giving you me. Your heart, your worry, your concern, your struggle, your temptation, whatever that thought may be, I'm just going to invite you. And it usually takes some that have the courage to step out, and then others will follow. Father, thank you for your help today. Your word is true, powerful, life-giving, life-changing, transformational. And we want to be in that fluid state of living transformed all the time. And that's just when we live with the eternal yes, 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 Lord, when you speak. And right now you're speaking to hearts. You're drawing them to yourself. Say, let's talk about this. Come on, lay it down. Lay it down. And so I just pray that we would have freedom. More and more in this house, we just have a freedom without fear or favor, no matter what we think anybody's thinking, that we would just come and say, Lord, I want to be obedient. Here you go. And maybe by coming, our declaration is that you are God. You are on the throne of my life.